to loverupelite.com podcast. My name is Dave Parkinson. I'm alongside Adrian Jackson, and this week we are Challenge Cup bite size.
I like what you've done there, Dave. In the absence of the championship bite size, you come up with that idea. It's original.
That's what we like to be on this show, isn't it? So what we're going to be talking about, well, we'll go through the third round results. We'll look at the fourth round draw of the Challenge Cup. We've got a guest list as long as your arm as well. We're going to be hearing from Sean O'Loughlin of Wigan, Paul Cullen from the Widnes Vikings, rugby league broadcasting legend Ray French joins Adrian. I'll be having a chat with Lee Centurion's Greg McNally, and also speaking with Hunslet Hawks' Barry Eaton. Okay, without further ado, I sound like I'm hosting this draw, don't I? Without further ado, let's have a look at the results from the third round of the Challenge Cup. We had Barrow 32, Leading on 22, Bradford Dudley Hill 6, Keith McHugh's 58, Dewsbury Rams 84, Datto Heath 12, Doncaster 57, Charleston 10, East Hull 20, Rochdale 48, Egremont Rangers 14, Oldham 22, Gateshead Thunder 28, York Acorn 20, Hunslet 34, Royal Navy 14, Hunslet Old Boys 12, Featherstone Rovers 86, London Scholars 26, Lee Centurions 43, Mighton Warriors 4, Halifax 94, North Wales Crusaders 28, Toulouse 10, Wilton Raiders 8, Sheffield Eagles 58, Swinton Lions 66, Sidol 0, Rothbrough Hornets 22, South Wales Scorpions 24, Whitehaven 52, Hunslet Warriors 6, Workington Town 6, Batley 22, and finally, York City Knights 40, Hull Dockers 14.
Just looking at some of them results, some brave efforts by the amateur boys, by the way, some one-sided results you'd expect when you're playing Halifax and Featherstone Caulfield. Sorry for Hunslet Old Boys and Mighton Warriors, both third play to the likes of Wharfbrough and Egremont Rangers, who pushed the pros all the way.
They certainly did. I mean, I'm a big fan, to be honest, of there being another round in the Challenge Cup, like a qualifying round, or even less amateur teams involved. I don't know what your thoughts are of that.
I forgot to mention York Acorn as well, but yeah, totally agree with that one as well, I think. Results like 94-4 doesn't do the amateurs or the Challenge Cup any good whatsoever. So to whittle it down to the best of the best, maybe they should have like a qualifying round again for the amateurs, and you've got the best amateurs taking on the best at the Championship and Championship One.
There were some great individual efforts amongst the pro clubs over the course of the weekend. I noticed that Keithley Centre-Lawton scored 4 tries. That was bettered by Buchanan for Dewsbury, who scored 5 tries. Craven also chipped in with a hat-trick there. That was even bettered by Lee Waterman at Doncaster. He scored 6 tries, kicked 4 goals. That's 32 points. He beat Shepston on his own. For Rochdale, Gary Middlehurst, who scored a hat-trick the other week, grabbed another hat-trick. Stuart Littler, he scored a hat-trick for Lee Centurions. Danny Hume scored a hat-trick for North Wales Crusaders. Quinton Lute on the ice scored 4 tries for Sheffield Eagles. Fox for Whitehaven scored a hat-trick. Ford also grabbed a hat-trick for York. And in defeat, King scored 3 tries for Loughborough Hornets and still ended up on the defeated side. That is so unlucky.
Yeah, how unlucky that is. Loughborough as well. Brave effort from them pushing South Wales all the way. It was only Jamie Rooney and his experience that saw the Crusaders home against the Hornets. But King, personally for him, great day for him to remember. Unfortunately, wasn't the right result for his effort.
Let's grab some reaction. I was at the game between London Scholars and Lee Centurions. I caught up with Centurions fullback Greg McNally. This is what he had to say.
Joined by Greg McNally, and Greg, people perhaps tip this one as a bit of banana skin. Lee have overcome it, but it was tough, wasn't it?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. They're physical down the middle and kind of opened us up a bit down the middle, but we talked about aggression through the week, and I think that was the main thing that got us through today, really, our line speed and the forwards' line speed and contact were brilliant, so hopefully we can take that into the next game.
And it's one of these where, I suppose, a win like that just breeds confidence, does it?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Like, obviously, we're coming back of 2 defeats, and they've been hard-fought games. I thought we'd been unlucky, obviously, against Batley. Obviously, not fair outplayed us a bit, but hopefully this gives a lot of confidence going to the York game next week, and hopefully we put a performance on for the fans that deserve it, really.
It's a small squad that you're involved with, but I'd imagine that everybody's busting a gut for each other.
Oh yeah, we know. Obviously, we're small and there's still competition for places, which is good, and everyone's got to be on top of the game. So everyone's just pushing, and we've always spoke about working for each other and don't let your teammate down the one next year, so we'll just continue that all season, hopefully.
Just give us an idea of what it's like coming to a place like this, because I mean, you're in some of the smallest changing rooms that are known to man. Okay, I think Keighley goes somewhere to, yeah, to being like that. But these are like conditions that you're not particularly used to.
Yeah, definitely. It's into the unknown, really, because we've never really played here. Luckily, I've played here before, so I knew what was going to happen, so what they were like and what sort of team they were. But the pitch was terrible. It was just uneven everywhere, and it was a bit like an amateur pitch, really. But yeah, we knew we were coming to a bit of the unknown, so we just got to focus on ourselves and look after us.
And what do you make of London Scholars? Because they seem to be a team that's really on the improve at the minute.
Yeah, well, over the last couple of years, when I was at Oldham and stuff, they were the team that sat down the bottom and fought it out with Gateshead, really. But everyone in that league now, I've seen a couple of games and heard about teams in that league, and it seems to be a very competitive league, just like ours. And the bottom teams are beating the top teams. This is proven last week when they put a good performance against North Wales, and they come down from Super League obviously last year, but it's still a good result for them to put 60 points on a team, really.
Greg McNally, they're good to hear that he's settling in, and also interesting to hear his thoughts on London. He reckons that they're going places then.
That was a potential banana skin for Leeds Centurions, wasn't it? John McBrew was hoping the Scholars might have pulled off a famous victory for them, but fair play to Lee. They went down there on what was a long day for them and got the job done. McNally started his rugby league career with a big future ahead of him, didn't they? They were expecting big things of him at Whitehaven. Unfortunately, he's not hammered for it, so he's had to take two steps back to maybe take three steps forward towards maybe a re-entry into Super League.
He's still only 21, though, so he's got plenty of time in front of him. And a good result put Lee into the fourth round. Now, the fourth round draw took place at the DW Stadium on Monday evening. Both myself and Adrian Jackson were there. We sampled the delights, didn't we? But sadly, no pies.
No, there's plenty of beef stew and some cheesy dumplings. They were quite nice, but yeah, sadly, no pies.
There were plenty of ties, though, and they were picked out in the Challenge Cup by Challenge Cup legends. We had Andy Gregory on the Widnes side, reliving his 1982 memories, and on the Hull side, we had Lee Crooks. Well, how great is it that those two are still involved?
They are, certainly for Lee Crooks. He's the Featherstone general manager. Andy Gregory, however, he might not be involved in the game, but he's still passionate about the sport. Now, what balls did he pull out the hats? Well, they've landed up with four Super League ties anyway. We've got Widnes versus St Helens, Leeds versus Wakefield, Hull FC versus Huddersfield, and Hull Kingston Rovers versus Catalan.
Some mouth-watering ties there amongst the Super League clubs. Let's give you the rest of the draw. London Broncos will take on Dewsbury. Whitehaven will host Salford. Featherstone Rovers are at home to Castleford Tigers. Wigan start the defence of the cup with the visit of North Wales Crusaders. Swinton Lions are at home to Gateshead. Bradford are at home to Doncaster. Halifax make the trip to South Wales. Sheffield make the short hop to York. Warrington have to go to Keighley after hosting them at the Halliwell Jones last season. Lee Centurions rewarded with a home tie against Rochdale. Oldham also at home to Barrow, and Hunslet at home to Batley.
Some tasty ties there, but the one that stands out, not involving all Super League opposition, is Featherstone versus Castleford. Not the biggest of derbies in the world, I believe, but Featherstone and Castleford fans are going to totally disagree and say that is the derby of all derbies.
I was just about to say, try saying that there in the Calder Valley. You'd get lynched, to be honest. But I think that's got a fascinating tie. Featherstone, they've been right on top of the game for the last 3 years. They've really lost at home. They're going to really test Castleford Tigers, I reckon. And it's a Castleford side that is struggling in Super League at the moment.
I think form will go out the window. And the advantage of Castleford being full-time in Super League should just see them home.
But with an enthusiastic home crowd, anything could happen.
That's the beauty of the Challenge Cup, isn't it? And that's going to be a tie. Everybody will be hoping that they're going to be on Sky or on the BBC. The ties take place on the weekend of the 14th and 15th of April. Wigan Warriors, they're the holders. They got a home tie against North Wales Crusaders, and I caught up with a very happy Sean O'Loughlin. Sean O'Loughlin, you're the cup holders. Nice home tie against North Wales Crusaders. Is that the tie you were hoping for?
You tell when you're given, but yeah, I think the opportunity to probably dodge some of the Super League clubs early on is, yeah, it's a good thing for us, especially getting a home tie as well. That's great. The Speckers will get a chance to come out to home parks and support us.
Happy days for your last time around the Wembley. Are you hoping you may get there again?
because I lost the journey. I went on from the through the round of the Challenge Cup and then the final, and gave me a chance to play there at Wembley and win the competition. It was a fantastic occasion for us, and yeah, it's something we'd love to emulate again this year.
I mean, the draw side was the former Wigan legend Andy Graham. You pulled that home, get balls, you pulled that Wigan. What was you going for at that point?
Yeah, it linked after as well, getting us at home tie, and that's always a big bonus to get a home game, and then you just stay my way to see who you get. But yeah, we've been looked after pretty well with the draw we've got.
Sean O'Loughlin there, understandably happy about drawing the North Wales Crusaders. Now, there's a few of those lads in the North Wales side. They'll be cock-a-hoop at drawing Wigan out of the hat because they'll never have played in a bigger game.
That's their cup final, isn't it? And hopefully for them as well. A decent crowd will be at the DW Stadium and they'll make a couple of quid out of it.
Another potential upset, as far as I'm concerned, involves Whitehaven. Now, they've made things difficult for Super League sides going up there in the past. I can think of Warrington and St Helens having a tough run of things up there. Salford also faced a bit of a task having to overcome them. One of the four All-Super League ties, these local rivals, Widnes and St Helens clash. Adrian caught up with Widnes Vikings, Paul Cullen.
Paul Cullen wrote to him, he starts in 2 weeks' time. He chose that being favourable to Widnes to repeat the centre 6 final in Widnes versus St Helens.
Well, it's a draw that we're delighted with. In the Challenge Cup, you don't really want to spend too much time playing against clubs that you possibly can't make any money from. It's an expensive game, rugby league. We get St Helens to come to the Stormart Stadium, possibly the first game ever in a Challenge Cup on an artificial surface. I don't know. It seems that way. Maybe we can check that one out. But it's one we can task ourselves to try and sell out. St Helens, as we know, spent the year in Widnes last time out in Super League, so they know the way to the stadium, and it's an all Super League time, and we're just delighted to witness that we're able to say that.
It's going to be a good fixture for the fans to whet their appetite for as well.
Absolutely, St Helens are a world class side, and we've had a couple of wins this year. We've beaten Wigan, we've beaten London. That's probably two wins more than the vast majority of people gave us any chance of ever securing it in the first third of the season anyway. So we're up and running and we are fully enjoying our time fighting out with the big boys, and to play a game against St Helens is absolutely awesome. I've played in many myself, I've coached quite a few as well, and for our club, for Dennis Betts as a coach, and for the current Widnes players to go into their first ever Challenge Cup game as a Super League player on the right pitch against the side as good as St Helens is absolutely breathtaking for us.
Vikings might have a chance of winning that one though.
Of course you've always got a chance. It's a cup game. We've seen virtually in every round of Super League there's been some shocks. You know, if we get a win, it would obviously have to be classed, because St Helens have got a great squad, and they've had a great squad. In the modern era, they've been one of the best teams that Super League has ever seen. So we know it's a massive challenge, and one that we're fully looking forward to.
Paul Cullen, he sounded excited.
Great fixture for Widnes to have, isn't it? It's the Tennants against the Tenbury Tennants from last year. So it's St Tennants' first trip back to the Stormart Stadium. And like Paul said, it's going to be the first ever Challenge Cup tie on an artificial pitch. So history in the making.
I love it how they're still bringing the high pitch into discussion, even sort of 9 weeks, 10 weeks into the season. Great, isn't it? But you mentioned as well to me just before we pressed the record button, it's a replay of a Wembley Cup final.
1976 was the year. It was a heat wave. I was there as a young 6-year-old in my short pants and my Widnes top. And it was a long trip home because Widnes expected to win that one. It was the young guns of Widnes taking on the old guard of St Helens. They were a team in transition in the 70s. But Widnes weren't expecting a performance from a youngster by the name of Peter Glenn, who ran off with a Lance Todd and scored a hat trick.
Great days. I was expecting you to come out with stories about jumpers for goalposts or something like that.
Well, that'd be Ray French.
Speaking of Ray French, that links us perfectly into Adrian speaking with the legendary broadcaster. This is what he had to say about the Challenge Cup draw.
With Ray French, Ray, at the point of the season where all attention and rugby focuses on the Challenge Cup, some interesting ties during the mid fourth round.
Some very, very interesting ties. I mean, the main one for me is my two former clubs, Widnes and St Helens. I think St Helens obviously going as favourites, but it's such a derby game. The fans will be out for this. I really do think they will impact the Stormart Stadium. And who knows if Widnes can do a Wigan job sets are a little bit vulnerable. You know, they have a very, very good win against Leeds, but you never know in a Challenge Cup here, and it sets a very, very good tie. I think there'll still be some good, fast, open rugby there.
Brings back memories of the 76 final.
Very, very much so. People still talk about that. There's still a lot of emotions about that. I mean, I think that's the beauty of the Challenge Cup. They are one-off games, and anybody can win a one-off game. You only need a couple of injuries the match before. You only need something to go off during the game, and the whole event can change. So, you know, that is what takes you through. Well, you need luck as well. You don't just have to be a top side. You need a stroke of luck. You need that bounce of the ball. And who knows, it could be. There's some pretty good. I like the Catalan Dragons versus OKR game. I think that'll be very, very competitive. That was quite a feisty battle last weekend, the OKR and Catalan. Catalan, Trent Robinson, was quite determined. He wants to have a go at Wembley. They've good side, big strong side. But there seems to be a renaissance on Humber's side. Both the whole and the OKR clubs are doing quite well. And there seems to be a confidence coming up from the.
Yeah, we've got a couple of Super League ties as well. You've got Leeds versus Wakefield, Hull FC versus Huddersfield, and you mentioned the Castle and the OKR again. So interesting ties to go with Super League team from the head side.
Yeah, the Leeds Wakefield is a very tasty one, where Wakefield got great traditions within the club. I think Richard Aitken has got them going well. I saw them play at Warrington, and they really could have picked Warrington, there's no question about that. They've picked up one or two good wins. They played well at Widnes that first match of the season. They know exactly what they're doing. They're a new side coming together, and you've got to wonder when will Leeds come on from this shock from Saints from that 40-odd point dropping. So you know, that's a good one. I think the Featherstone-Castleford game will be one hell of a game. That is the mortal derby they can possibly get. Featherstone making noises now about getting the club in order, moving forward, wanting to get into Super League. The logical team they would want to knock out of Super League is Castleford, so what better than a Thursday Challenge Cup time?
Yeah, well, I'll start looking at the John C. Whether there's a potential upset, and that could be the one.
Yeah, it could very much be the one, certainly, because Featherstone are the premier side, no doubt about that, in the Championship. They are the favourites for the Championship again. They're setting their stall out to get into Super League, and I think Casper will have all on.
You know, the current holders, they'll be quite happy with the home side against Northwest Crusaders.
Well, they will. I mean, they'll be very happy. I would think Northwest Crusaders will get a few bob out of the tie. I think Sean William will probably take the opportunity again to rest some players. I don't think it'll be as big a gamble as he did last time, but I think he will do that. And I think it will be good for the lads from the North Wales Crusaders, many of whom are just ex-amateur players. What a step up for them, and what a great day out for them. I think it's very difficult for a side, you know, to like Keating out to top of something like Warrington and that sort of thing. But it'd be a great day out for the people at Keating, and they're giving it all, because they've certainly bought some players, and they're certainly doing very well. I think they've surprised everybody in the Championship so far, and the Northern Rail, with one or two very, very good results. So, you know, if Warrington go there, and the two cocksure, if the two overconfident, you can trip up, and anybody can trip up in the Challenge Cup.
It's great to have the romance of the Cup in the Rugby League calendar in South Wales. They'll have a chance to play the former winners, Halifax.
Well, they will. Again, I think Halifax will be too strong for them. But, again, it's the lure of the Challenge Cup. And, you know, well, we never have a Welsh team there. I don't suppose either of these two will get there. It's good to have Wales involved with two teams. A very, very long, long time before you and I were on this earth. I think we had two teams.
And also, there's about one former coach that's won the actual cup. It's John Kerr. He's with Bally. He starts off well on foot.
He starts off with Tunslip, one of our staff, back here at the end of Portwell this season. John Kerr, of course, took Sheffield Eagles to a famous win over Wigan in the 90s. He's famous there for that. He is a cup man. He loves the Challenge Cup. He loves the lure of it. And I certainly think he will give Hunsley to a record going.
Yeah, two troubles made by two legends of the game in the Crooks and Andy Gregory. That brings back memories of the 82 replay and the win at Elm Road.
It does. Incidentally, it was my first ever Wembley for television. That was 1982, and it was the first replay. in the game. I think the chaos that there was. My only fear of doing that game was actually getting there. But when I did, I enjoyed it.
My memory of that cup final, I went there with me that as a 12-year-old, and seeing Stuart Beck go the length of the field, that's some feats at Wembley.
Oh, it was a magnificent run down the right-hand side, but unfortunately he missed the goal, didn't he, from the touchline, so he stayed as a draw. But it was a very, very good Wembley final, but I think the Ellen Road one was a real classic.
I think 1982, put your money on the line, who's going to win in 2012?
I would never like to save the Challenge Cup. I often believe that when you set off, any of 6 to 7 or 8 clubs can win. It's probably much harder to win it these days with the full-time professionals in Super League. It may be that the days have gone when a team like, say, Barrow or Lee or even Featherstone could win the Challenge Cup. But it does have a romance about it. A team can do well just by getting to the quarter-finals and they can make a few more better.
Ray Frenchie always says very excited when he gets round to this stage of the Challenge Cup.
He loves it, doesn't he? He's still passionate about the game of rugby league, and it's just great hearing from such a guy with such a wealth of experience.
Let's have a look at another couple of these fixtures. Perhaps not the glamour boys, but certainly Hunslet against Batley. That's an interesting tie there.
Intriguing, isn't it? It's John Kerr, who's got a lot of history regarding the Challenge Cup, taking on Hunslet, and he'll be hoping that Batley overcome the challenge and go on a bit of a cup run.
But he's got Hunslet to defeat, and I caught up with coach Barry Eaton, first of all giving his reaction to that cup draw, and then talking about his time at Hunslet and whether he could repeat the dose that he managed with Keighley.
Joined by Hunslet Hawks coach Barry Eaton, and Barry, you got the prerequisite of a home draw, but against probably the Championship's form team at the moment.
Yeah, obviously John Keir's taken over at Batley, and he's doing a very good job, and carrying on the good work that Carl Harrison did.
It was a very interesting draw, wasn't it? Plenty of Super League sides being drawn against each other. Do you dare to dream?
Oh, there's probably going to be some outstanding Super League teams that are not going to be in the hat for the next round. So, if we can get a great performance and beat Batley, then we can say we've got further than some great Super League sides.
It's the first time I've spoken to you since you've gone back into the Championship with Hunslet. Mm-hmm. How are things going for you at the moment, though?
Yeah, things are settling down. The club's had a takeover, which took quite a lot of work and effort behind the scenes. But the club's in a decent position. It's trying to make itself sustainable and certainly not trying to go too fast before it can. So the club's making steady progress, and hopefully in years to come it'll be a real, real solid club.
It's a fan-owned club now, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's owned by the fans, and it's something that's important from the club's point of view. The people that are now directors of the club, basically fans of the club, and making sure that the club doesn't do anything that that puts it in danger.
And you've signed plenty of young players as well. It's almost been a changing of the guard in many respects, because you've got quite a number of players coming in this season.
We have, yeah, and quite a lot of them are local players as well. We identified that when I had discussions with the club, that the player pathway probably wasn't quite what it needed to be, for such a local club in a hotbed of an area in Leeds and West Yorkshire. So, we made the decision to try and sign some local players and local players with potential, and again, that'll stand us in good stead in future for creating a better player pathway.
Am I right in thinking that your role is twofold? Are you also like a development officer as well?
Yes, yeah, I'm heading up the community side of the club, and again, the player pathway goes hand in glove with the community side of the club, and we're hoping to create better links with the community and forge some better links and get more people coming down to the club, and not necessarily just coming down to watch games, but being involved with the club in other capacities and just making the brand and the awareness of Hunslet Hawks further and better.
Now, you had some great success really at Keighley over a number of years. Are you taking some of that you've managed to bottle and bringing it to Hunslet, or is it a case of different club, different settings?
I think the circumstances and what I've taken over at Hunslet are very similar to the circumstances when I first joined Keighley. The club were not on a great sound financial footing in terms of what they could spend budget wise, and Hunslet is very, very similar. They've not got a great budget, by far the lowest in the division for this year. So we're making sure that we try and develop some players and bring some players through that can hopefully become decent players at the club. And one thing that we can say about Hunslet is it's not out on a limb. Keighley's the closest club's Bradford, and obviously they're a formidable Super League side, so it was difficult to attract players and progress and develop local players. But something I was very, very proud of is the fact that, you know, there's probably about 12 or 13 players in that Keighley first team squad at this moment in time that came through you know, my development there. So something I'm very proud of, and hopefully we can do the same onslaught.
Barry Eaton, an enthusiastic coach here, but the most one, and well, he's certainly learning his trade, isn't he?
He is, believe it or not. He's been a head coach before in the Championship with Keighley. Then he stepped away from the Championship to become an assistant coach under Yeston Harris. Any coach will tell you, you're never too old to learn, and he'll be one of them to really admit that.
Another tie that catches my eye, Oldham against Barrow. Now, the two of those actually play this weekend in the Cooperative Championship One, so if you do fancy going along for a cup dress rehearsal, that is one of the ties taking place this week in Championship One. We might as well bring you up to date with the rest of the fixtures. I'll start with Championship One because I've actually broken rules here and gone for them. First of all, we've got Doncaster at home to Southfield Scorpions, Gateshead Thunder hosting Whitehaven, Rochdale Hornets travel to North Wales Crusaders, Barrow go to Oldham, like I mentioned, and London Scholars have an awfully long trip up to Workington. Give us your winners.
I'm going to go for a home victory for Doncaster, an away victory for Whitehaven, an away victory for Rochdale, away victory for Barrow, and away victory for London.
That's almost a clean sweep of away victories there. You're a brave man tipping the Scholars going up there, but having seen them last week, I actually rate them. I think that they'll be up there come the end of the season.
The next round of the Championship is round three. We see Sheffield take on Halifax, Lee Centurions versus York City Knights, Dewsbury Rounds versus Feversham Rovers, Keighley versus Hunslet, Swinton versus Batton. Now, David, I give you what I think are going to be the winners from Championship One. Pick us the winners from the Championship.
It's only fair I give it, isn't it, as well? You know, considering I put you on the spot and give my views. But I think Sheffield Eagles will beat Halifax. I think Lee Centurions will have a little bit too much in the tank for York City Knights. I reckon Featherstone will come away with the points against Dewsbury. Hunslet will push Keighley close, but I can see Keighley coming out on top there. And Batley Bulldogs will defeat Swinton, but it's going to be tough for Donkey's side.
Now, Championship Bite Size returns next time, and we'll bring you all the reaction from those games.